Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. All right, LA, appreciate you guys tuning in. Excited about tonight's show. I think I spent all day on Twitter. There's a reason why I spent all day on Twitter. That's simply because every update that you're looking for in regards to Major League Baseball. So we'll talk a lot of baseball tonight. Bill Shaken of the LA Times is going to join the show coming up here at 7 o'clock. And we'll have Kirk Morrison here in a second. Kirk Morrison will be a part of the show all night tonight, also every Wednesday. So myself and Kirk will be handling the show. Okay, the latest on Major League Baseball. This is where we're at right now. Just to give everybody a quick idea. And the reason why I think right now, you know, I mentioned I was on Twitter all day is because I was just waiting for that tweet to say, okay, they got it. We're good. An agreement has been made. Okay, they're not that far yet. What we do know is full prorated salaries for the players. So that was one of the big sticking points. The owners are looking at a 60-game season, so that's the agreement that they're basing it off. We're already getting some information that, you know what, it can't be 60 games, got to be more games. There's players out there that still want to see that. Obviously, it's a higher amount of games, closer to the 70 mark, but something to keep in mind, the season would start on July 19th, and it would end on September 27th, so 71 days total. Kirk, what's going on, Morrison?
What's up, Alan Sliwa? How we doing, my brother?
What's going on? Good, man. Good, man. How about you?
I'm hanging. You know what it is? It's just another day, right? Another day working, grinding.
Kirk, did you spend, like I was mentioning, right, spent a lot of time on Twitter today? You know, once those kind of sparks start happening.
Oh, there we go. Sorry.
You good?
Yeah, I'm back.
once we got those sparks just kind of starting to flare up on Twitter about maybe baseball's coming back without them actually saying, hey, it's good, baseball is back. You spend all day on Twitter trying to figure out, okay, give me that, just that final. We're not going to get anything, I think, tonight. I don't think they'll probably come to an agreement until Friday, but we're getting closer, Kirk, but I feel like I've been saying that about baseball for a long time.
Yeah, I think we went for the pump fake, Alan. Right,
oh, we definitely went for the pump fake.
Right, we're playing good defense, got our knees bent. Right, we slapped the floor. We're ready to go. You know, but at the end of the day, you gotta stand your ground. Right,
gotta play all the way through.
Mark Jackson says, "What, hand down, man down?" Well, guess what? 100%. I have my hand down today. I have my guard down. All right, but in the NBA, you know, just basically. You know, I have my NBA motto going, right? I'm like, everything is rolling. The NBA starting July 31st. Now Major League Baseball finally got on board. The players understand what's at stake. The owners understand what's at stake. They can't go a year without baseball, right?
I think they know that. All the things that we knew about.
Mm-hmm. And then I get this like, oh, they're about to near an agreement. And you're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yes. And you're almost like, it's already done. And then all of a sudden you start reading. And all it is just that there's possible agreements to some of the things in which were refused or not agreed upon, which now may be agreed to, but still must go to a vote. And I'm like, I didn't went for the pump fake. Until I see the players out in front on doing news conferences and all that, until I get a statement from Major League Baseball, MLB, telling me that yes, we are in fact starting on this date, things have been agreed upon by both sides, then I can relax. Now, man, baseball is still right now, I can only play on my PlayStation.
But they get you. I mean, they got me today. I was kind of with the mindset of just saying to myself, okay, well, there wouldn't be this many, you know, well-trusted reporters. They do an unbelievable job around baseball. They've got connections through and through, owners, GMs, players. there's this onslaught of tweets that are all coming out all at the same time. We're actually in the middle of me, you, and Jesse. We're doing a little prep work around noon, and I kind of had the assumption of like, this is going to get done by the time the show starts. That was my assumption. You don't,
right?
You have that.
I think when we talked earlier, we both had thought about it. Like, okay, this is baseball day, right? And for all those people listening in the radio world, you're like, perfect. Here it is.
Look at all this momentum.
Yeah, this is our subject of the night, right? This is our hot topic. This is the hot breaking news headline. All right, and all the Dodger fans out there getting excited. They can get ready to cheer for their team. And finally, you can see Mookie Betts in a Dodger jersey. And all of a sudden, it was stripped of us. It was taken away because it wasn't true.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I think that's the thing. You know, Kirk, the one thing I can't stand about some of the structure of Major League Baseball
is what?
They've just gone about this all the wrong way. Like, just the whole thing. There's all this posturing. There's, you know, these – kind of, you'll have a reporter or a tweet comes out that this is what the union said, or Rob Manfred will go on CNN and say something in ESPN. I just hate all the back and forth without just the two sides looking each other in the eyes and trying to figure out how to get it done. You don't have to get everybody else involved. You know what I mean? There's nothing worse than watching this negotiation go down publicly. Like, do your thing in a private room. You don't have to tell anybody. When you're done and you get it figured out, yesterday Mark Teixeira was talking about this on Get Up. He was saying, put yourself in a room. Figure it out. If you eventually – if you want to get this done, if two sides want to get something done, they're going to get it done.
Correct.
But, man, this lobbying back and forth, drawing this thing out for as long as they have, I think there's a lot of fans now that want to just sit back and say, when you get it done, let me know. If you don't, I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah. What they say don't cry, just show me the baby. Is that what it is? Don't tell me about the labor pains, just show me the baby. Right?
That's great right there. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Hopefully I didn't mess that one up, but it was just like, yeah, don't show me the labor pains, just show me the baby.
Even right? Just hypothetically, Kirk, even if you messed it up, don't change it. Keep going with that one. All right?
Correct.
So even if it's wrong, I want you to continue to use it just that way, all right? Just, if it's the labor, don't show me the labor. Yeah. Don't show me the labor pains. Just show me the baby.
Correct. There we go. And honestly, that's what's been going on with MLB. So I went for the pump fake today. I think a lot of people did. But we know that things still have to be agreed upon. I think a lot of it is like you mentioned, and it's kind of like when we're watching a movie, right? And you get to that romantic late drama romantic movie, right? And it's the mom and the dad, and they're divorcing, and then the child's in the middle, and things are starting to get ugly, right? Dad's talking about mom, and now the kid has to choose sides. And I feel like right now we're the kid, and we're supposed to choose sides. Are we choosing the side of the players? Are we choosing the side of the owners? Is it greed by the players? Is it greed by the owners? Like, what is it? And we're sitting here trying to figure out what side do we choose in this battle if it continues to go on, if it finally just finishes what they need to do, if they make the decision, like you mentioned, get locked themselves in a room and they've agreed upon this, but it still has to be signed. It still has to be voted on by the players and things like that. And we just sit here and we're like, man, at some point when people start to choose sides, like you mentioned, because it was going public, when the communication, when you start to hear about some of the public bickering, right, but between the two, that's when I'm forced to have to choose a side. And you know me, I'm always going to be pro player when it comes to choosing sides.
Well, I think with this one, I've said this a few different times, that I sympathize with the players much more than I sympathize with the owners. That's the reality. That's the truth. And I feel this way. I feel like the players are, in a sense, getting bullied on this. But I did reach a point, and I mentioned this for the last week or two, that I think fans are at a point where they don't care who to point the finger at. They just want to see you get the job done. Because,
right,
Kirk, what we've seen, I'll use the NBA as an example. What we've seen with the NBA is under similar circumstances. Of course, I know the CBA is different. The collective bargaining agreement is different between the two leagues. I know that the NBA had almost 80% of its season done, where baseball, that wasn't the case. Okay, they're not apples to apples, but right, they're both facing a devastating business structure and plan moving forward because COVID-19 hit, and that's just the position the entire country is in and the entire world is in. Correct. But what I didn't see with the NBA, Kirk, what I didn't have to worry about with the NBA was they're trying to get the fans to waver one way or the other. No, what I saw with the NBA is pure leadership, a respect for both sides, and a path to at least put the league in a position to finish up the season July 30th through October 12th. Right. Maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't happen, but at least with the NBA, it was – you felt like there was always momentum, and then you just heard it's going to get done. Baseball, completely different story.
Yeah, but I think I will push back and say that the NBA was already in full mid-swing. I mean, they're three-quarters of the way done. They just want to finish what they started. And I think everybody came to an agreement, like, we have to finish what we started, especially for those players who want to finish those salaries off for the season, right? You want to get that money that you're owed, and how do we do that? Well, we're going to have to play. We know that. Where I think is baseball is just
they
a
should
little
be more
bit
desperate.
Different.
Kirk, they should be more desperate in baseball because they haven't got paid anything this year.
They never
started,
though.
But that's my point. My point is because they haven't played any games, so they can't get right. – there's no revenue coming in. At least with basketball, they pretty much got their whole regular season, you know, their finances from the regular season perspective.
Correct.
Almost all the way there. And I'm not saying it's not complicated in baseball, but I have to imagine fans at some point are like, okay, we've heard the excuses. Do we want to keep hearing the excuses?
Right.
We gotta get to a commercial break real quick. Here's what I want to do. Finish your point when we come back on how it's different from a baseball perspective. Plus, if you're, you know, obviously a Dodger fan out there, you're this close. You could taste that a season's coming back. And actually, the structure of the way the season's going to be played, I really like it. So if you want to comment on that, you want to be a part of the show, it's going to be myself and Kirk Morrison the entire night. You can call in 877-710-ESPN. As always, we appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. Kirk, I'm not going to lie here.
What up?
Show flies with you being on the show, bro. I mean, it flies.
I definitely a compliment, man. I appreciate it. Because we're just two buddies just talking. You know, we're going to argue. We're going to go back and forth. We may not like sometimes what we got to say. But that's what's part of being brothers, man. That's what's part of being show hosts.
Nah,
you don't always have to agree, but I do give you your props when you're right. When you're like, you're right. I give you your props.
Do you wait a while? Like, you're like, I don't want to give it to him now. Don't let his chest get
I just
get
text
up
you after the show. How about that?
When the mic is off. Just text when the mic is off. I love
it. Just text you after the show.
All right, Kirk, you were trying to explain that it's not apples to apples, which you're right on that. When you look at the NBA, and I compliment the NBA of look how they got it done, and here we are now. We got the structure, and they're – there wasn't, I thought, a lot of outside noise or even inside noise within the league that you heard as they were trying to figure this whole thing out. And I think I compliment Adam Silver a lot on that. But baseball has its own challenges. It is different. It's not apples to apples. Explain what you were referring to before we went to the break.
Well, I just think that when you talk about the NBA, NBA season was already in full swing. Mm-hmm. So they were three quarters of the way. They were gearing up. They're about a month away from playoffs starting.
Exactly a month.
Right?
Yep.
And so they were so close to the end that it's so hard to just say, you know what, it's over. It's not like the NCAA tournament this year in college basketball where they just said, hey, we're not doing it, right? The NBA is a lot more money riding on that, and I think you can say the same for college basketball, but still the NBA knew that they were going to finish. We knew throughout the pandemic that at some point the NBA was just waiting, figuring out what it was going to look like, and they came up with the best scenario of having – sort of this, I'm just calling it an AAU tournament at the Wide World of Sports, in Disney Wide World of Sports, because that's what it is. It's a glorified AAU tournament for 3 months, all right? But we knew the NBA had to get it done. When it comes to baseball, that ship, it never let sail. It never went sail.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were still at the dock.
Mm-hmm.
They was boarding.
Spring
training. And then everybody mm-hmm. had to get off the boat, right? They mm-hmm. boarding all. Start this. Oh, no, you're not. That boat is not leaving the dock. Everybody had to get off. And remember, who owns the boat? It's the owners. Mm-hmm. The players are the one getting on the boat, right? The players are the mm-hmm. one who getting on and go to their cities and things like that. And as the workers, the players, I thought that the Major League Baseball owners, as obviously we talk about the revenue, a lot of that revenue that we've already we speak of a lot of times is already generated through television contracts, mm-hmm. right? But the player salaries are paid through what? The nightly game ticket sales.
Sure.
You know, a lot of the things that happen throughout the season.
The merchandising. The merchandising.
And, mm-hmm. you know, we know here in Los Angeles is what Dodgers Sportsnet LA, mm-hmm. right? Or was it the Dodgers Sports Spectrum? What is
Spectrum.
One of them?
Yep.
Spectrum,
yep.
yeah. You know, mm-hmm. like a lot of the local stations in which you broadcast yep. the game on, you know, those help out in paying some of the player salaries. So without that being said, I thought the owners had all the leverage, but it was just about them showing that, hey, we want to get things back in order, back in track, and that's why it's taken so long. That's why they're bickering back and forth, because the season never started, mm-hmm. right? It just never started. So it was like, well, we gotta hurry up and start. Like, hey, we don't have to start nothing. Then I remember going back to 2011 with the player strike. Not the player strike. I'm sorry. I can't say strike. It wasn't a strike. It was the lockout, because mm-hmm. the owners mm-hmm. locked out the players. They locked the doors. They wouldn't let us in. Right, mm-hmm. the strike is when we refused to play. It was the owner said, no, we're locking you out until we get a deal done. And I remember 2011, Alan, because when we got there, it was a situation in which the owners were trying to kind of wait us out a little bit. Because at the end of the day, a lot of these owners are billionaires, right? They're fine regardless. And so the players are usually the one who are going to do what? Kind of cave in, right? Mm-hmm. They kind of cave and be like, oh, man, you know.
It's the economics.
Take a lesser of a deal. But the Major League Baseball players, they stood firm. Mm-hmm. No, you're not going to put in some small print that we can get out of this contract, or we can give you a prorated salary of the prorated salary. So right now there's still some things that have to be worked out, but you're seeing the negotiations take place in the public eye. And baseball doesn't already, I mean, they've already go back to 94 with the strike. Mm-hmm. They've never recovered from that, to me, mm-hmm. honestly. They lost a lot of eyeballs in that window of time. And now, right now, just looking at what's going on in the pandemic and just showing the greed going back and forth, when baseball starts, I'm not running to a television. I'll look at it when I'm ready. But I'm not like, oh, man, the first baseball game is on right now.
You know, it's crazy.
That's where I'm at with baseball right now, Alan. I'm not there. Now, NBA, a little bit different. All right. That mm-hmm. first tip off at the Wide World of Sports. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to see what that looks like. Right. I want to mm-hmm. see what that looks like. I want to see LeBron James and, you know, James Harden and those guys that are there in that element. What does it look like? Is it going to be more like a street ball affair? Is it like a...
It's going to be like the summer league. That's what it's going to be like.
Yeah, like a summer league.
It's going to look like the summer league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to see what that looks like when it comes to baseball. They don't got me fired up right now. Right? Well, they've got me a little upset.
I'll say this, Kirk. Baseball's been sloppy. That's the best way that I can use it. Is they've been sloppy. Like the whole thing from start to finish where they're sitting right now, it's none of it has seemed like they're all pulling the rope in the same direction. And you talked about timeline, but the timeline's important. I'm going to read something off to you. So we're going to have Bill Chaiken from the LA Times come on at 7. Bill Chaiken had the opportunity to talk with Dr. Anthony Fauci, and Fauci was talking about playing in October. That wouldn't be his recommendation. So he says, if the question is time, I would try to keep it in the core summer months and end it not with the way we play the World Series until the end of October when it's cold. Went on to say, I would avoid that. So structurally, baseball is already, the way the structure is built out, they're already set up to play through October. You got Dr. Fauci, who I think is the only one, I think basketball is the only sport where he stood there in front of a mic and actually said, no, they're very creative. The NBA is very creative with how they're doing this. I think this just might work. Without any mm-hmm. guarantees, because nobody knows. So I think with baseball, it's been sloppy. The timeline is important, but the structure of what this thing might look like, I got to be honest, Kirk, I'm not the biggest baseball fan. I'm a very casual fan when it comes to it. I'm going to be watching if they figure this thing out. If they get this thing started July 19th, goes through September 27th, so they'll play around 60 games in a 70-day span, 71-day span, potentially 16 playoff teams, I know it's not perfect, and I know there's a lot of kind of moving and shaking with how much different it is from how baseball usually is, but I think they'll get me. I just want them to get it done so we could stop talking about if they're going to get it done.
Well, I would say I probably would.
You wouldn't watch, huh?
Because might get 60 games. In a little. Mm-hmm. 60 games, yeah. I may turn it in by game 9. Right? Mm-hmm. I give you a little bit of games, those little test games, right? It's kind
of
like
you want 15% of the season, right? Yeah. You're like, yeah,
about the reopenings that we've seen throughout the country, right? You let Houston and, you know, parts of Texas, you let Florida open first. Let me see what that looks like. All right. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, let me start watching it, because that's in the meat of the summer. That's the heart of the summer. You know, people are going to start going on vacations and things. I'm not stopping for baseball right now. That usually that is the time that people aren't going to the ballparks anyway. So even if we're at home, you may get people watching it, but I don't know.
All the sports are going to be colliding, by the way. I mean,
they are MLS, college football, NFL.
Think about
this. See who's the king.
Think about this, Kirk. MLS July 8th to August 11th. MLB July 19th. To October, end of October, let's say. NBA July 30th to October 12th. I haven't even said NFL football yet, and I haven't even talked about college football yet. I mean, we could have something where there is such an abundance of sports. We've gone 3+ months now with, you know, really no live sports on a consistent basis.
Correct.
We might be sitting here just overload in sports, but a lot of that's going to depend on, you know, what happens from a health perspective.
It does. And I think the health perspective that we always got to keep in the mind is that a lot of these things that are scheduled to happen can always change, right? They can change. But I could throw in the U.S. Open as well with tennis, right? They're supposed to play that with no fans. So you're talking about we may go from having nothing for 3.5-4 months to having too much, right? Like overload.
It's a good problem.
Should I start sleeping now, Alan? I should start sleeping now so that when all these sports start happening, I can just wake up and I can just, whatever you feel like, you know what? I may have to make a calendar of what I want to do with my sports life now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Tuesday, I think I'll go MLS. Wednesday, probably a little baseball. Thursday, basketball. Throw a little tennis in there.
Kirk, when you say basketball, it's not even going to be like, oh, there's one game on at 5 o'clock and another game on at 7:30. Games are going to be starting like at noon. They got to cram these games in.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? So there's one location.
So
they're not worried about
living
travel.
On the West Coast, living on the West Coast is going to be a good thing.
Oh, I mean, just think about that. And especially for LA. You know, when I say MLS, I'm talking about there's a lot of Galaxy fans out there, a lot of LAFC fans.
Correct.
Laker fans, I don't even have to talk about. By the way, fans that are out there supporting the Clippers. Clippers got a shot to win an NBA championship. Dodgers are supposed to be the best team in baseball. So you have this just combination. I know we went from, you know, kind of poking holes into baseball to talking about how excited we are about sports when they do come back. But it's a reality. That's how a lot of people feel right now. They haven't got a chance to taste baseball and basketball. And you know, you could use soccer as another example. Football will come. It's going to be overload, but it's going to be fantastic. It will all just come down to, is it healthy enough to play? And that's not something anybody can control.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you can't control it, but it's, for me, I'm just excited that it's coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's here. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. I did wake up today and I realized today on our calendar is June 17th, Wednesday. I'm like, wasn't yesterday June 3rd? Like, where did June go by? When did June start flying by this fast?
I forgot about May. I completely forgot about May. I have no idea what happened in May.
I woke up like, wait, it's June 17th? What? It was just June 3rd yesterday.
Man, it feels like it. It feels like it. All right, let's do this. From the LA Times, Bill had a chance. First of all, he's got a great article right now just talking about MLB owners make first offer to players that includes full prorated salary. So we'll get kind of the latest what's going on that front. Plus, Bill Shaken got a chance to connect with Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday. And specifically talking about how Major League Baseball should consider not playing in October. So we'll do all that coming up next. We appreciate everybody tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison on the show all night tonight as well. Bill Shaken coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day?
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. Then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
All right, Alan Sliwa here with Kirk Morrison. Going until 9 o'clock. You could hear by that open. And Jess, if you can set up this day in sports history, I know there's some things that have nothing to do with sports, but 10 years ago today, the Los Angeles Lakers beat the Boston Celtics Game 7 at Staples Center. Kobe gets his fifth ring. Kirk, do you remember, by the way, I mean, I know you grew up in the Bay Area, but how much do you remember that NBA championship? The Lakers Celtics and Kobe getting it.
I remember it a lot. Just because I was now, you know, I came down to Southern California in 2000. So pretty much the Lakers were the squad, right? All my friends were from Southern California. So you live through the three-peat moments. I will definitely tell you I've benefited from going to some of the after parties in Los Angeles to commemorate the Lakers winning championships. But I remember just that run because I call it the non-Shaq years. The non-Shaq years were different, right? Yeah. They were rough in the beginning. Then, you know, some things were just really rocky. Phil comes back on board. And one of the
Pau Gasol comes to the Lakers.
Pau Gasol comes. I mean, it was just totally different, you know. And then so I actually had a chance to go to a couple of those games, right, especially against the Celtics. It was fun, man. It really was. It was a fun time to be at Staples Center because it was just Kobe. It was Kobe's squad, man.
It was nerve-wracking. I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, aside from fun, right? But Game 7, that game specifically.
Yeah.
You know what's actually funny? You know, you're thinking about looking at the time right now, and if this was 10 years ago, right around this time, I think they were, you know, they're probably in the second half right now, right? Or maybe just starting the fourth quarter.
Right.
The game probably started at 6 o'clock or whatever the case is. I just remember freaking pacing up and down at Staples Center. And we were up. I'm not a fan of watching with other people. It's uncomfortable when that's your squad, right? Like you want your team to win. Growing up, I always watched Lakers, but I always watched by myself because I can yell by myself. I could be angry. If I'm happy, I could just walk outside and see, you know, my parents are also enjoying the W. So I'm like, okay, we got it. You know, everything's good. That game, you couldn't get away. Everywhere you walked, and it was so tense. You know, that game was so tense. That game 7. And then they finally won. And there's this, you know, you were so proud for Kobe, right? Like, this was so big for Kobe Bryant because it also not only was his fifth NBA championship, not only did he pass Shaq, not only did he then beat the Boston Celtics. Like, it was such an incredible moment. And I know a lot of Laker fans look back, and it's crazy that it's already 10 years. That was my first year working at ESPN, too. When Lakers won that my first year, I'm like, I'm good. You can fire me now. I already won, Kirk.
Yeah.
That was big time.
I mean, that was a good one. Yeah, that was, like you mentioned, it was against the Celtics, right? And this was the team that had beaten you the year prior, right? Was that year prior?
2008. So
2008. I'm sorry, yeah.
2009, Lakers come back. Lakers beat Orlando. And then they beat Boston.
Yeah, then they beat Boston. I remember the 08 one. That was the tough one. That 08 one was, wow, it was rough. And then when they beat Orlando, that's when Trevor Ariza was on the team. So
Trevor Ariza was there. That's right. Yeah. Meta was on the one in 2010.
On 2010, yeah. So a lot of the guys who, you know, I'm still in the National Football League in this time, and, you know, you start to go to certain places around Los Angeles, you bump into certain guys, and you hang out with them for a little bit, and you just knew. But the funny thing was we always had this running joke about, you know, the teams that would come to Los Angeles. right? And you just knew that the Sunday night, the teams that came off of a Sunday night or played Monday, or actually the Sunday games, like you got to make sure that those players weren't going out, because you come to LA and it was, you had to, like, I remember one time it was the Denver Nuggets. What series? I don't know what series this was, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I was out Saturday night. We out, me and my buddies having a good time. Remember, this is all NFL offseason, so I'm allowed to go out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have an adult beverage or two.
Listen, you're an NFL player, right?
No.
In your prime. Don't, just let me say this, all right?
Yeah.
In your prime, it's the offseason. Kirk Morrison, damn right you should be out. Okay,
right.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Continue.
But I remember we went out and I saw a couple of Denver Nuggets players out. And I'm like, man, don't y'all got a game tomorrow against the Lakers?
And was that the Carmelo years? Carmelo and Chauncey and them?
I shall say, I will leave names out of this.
You have to say anything.
I just know that come Sunday, Lakers destroyed them. It was bad. And I'm like, how? And I realized why. And I realized a lot of people remember. I remember I seen the audio of this at the time, at live when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Kobe Bryant was telling everybody, give me all your phones, throw all your phones in here, mm-hmm. have your wives, your girlfriend, mama, grab, make sure they handle all the tickets. It's no distractions. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I remember that, how the intensity of Kobe, right? The intensity of these moments and how he wanted no distractions, how he knew he needed focus from the first, I mean, from the last person, all
sure.
the way through himself. Like, these were intense moments. And it kind of goes back, Alan, to what I talked about or what we've talked about throughout this show. Like, how many guys are going to have that mindset of being in Orlando and understanding that the only reason we are here is for 3 months, okay, to win a championship and get out? That's what we're here for. Like, how many guys are going to be able to maintain that focus, that love the game that much, that want to put a ring on that finger and be, let your team live on forever, right? That team will never be defeated at the end. Like, you win a championship, that team lives forever.
And I'm just going to throw out,
how many guys are going to be focused on that?
I'm just going to throw out, Kirk, just a couple names. Maybe they were on this roster. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they were on this team. Maybe they weren't. Chris Anderson, Al yeah. Harrington, Kenyon Martin, you know, maybe they're on that team. Maybe they weren't. J.R. Smith is another name I'm just going to throw out there. How about that squad?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Just,
you're just naming some guys. I will not confirm nor deny.
Or deny. I like it. Jess, what else happened this day in history?
Kirk pleads the fifth, definitely. So this day in 1994, there's actually a lot of things that happened in 1994, but I think the mm-hmm. biggest thing we all remember from June 17th, 1994 was the O.J. Simpson police chase.
Kirk, yeah. isn't that kind of crazy? You said that was 1994?
1994. I always remember. You always remember where you were.
I do remember where I was.
I remember where I was. It was a Friday night. That's how I know. It was a Friday night. I had a baseball game that night. Friday night was a baseball game I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember after the baseball game was over, and, you know, my mom was there, and then she said, we got to get home. OJ running. He's in a cop car. You know, and this is
– wow.
You know, this is no social media. This is no
sure.
cell phones. You know,
but it was
this
on
is,
every
this was just
TV
on,
network.
The only way you mm-hmm. could see this – was on the television.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all word of mouth. You weren't getting up to date things like that. It was just like, OJ Simpson is running with a gun to his head. That's all we knew.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we knew. And I remember that just because I was 12 years old. I just mm-hmm. finished a baseball game. And like I just remember the stomach, the feeling that I had was like, wow. Like, that's because we all knew who OJ was. I mean, at the time, I was a big Naked Gun fan, right? So I mm-hmm. knew him more from the
from the movies than
the
football field.
In the football, mm-hmm. yeah. Unreal. I think everybody always remembers where they were at that time. And now, you know, it's sometimes I also get an eerie feeling, too, when mm-hmm. I drive around some of the places in which, you know, where a lot of it occurred. right? I know one of the places that I'm usually by when I'm go by UCLA a lot, and you go
it was over in Brentwood. That's right, the Brentwood area.
Yeah, when you go over the 405 in Sunset, and I remember watching the documentary, one of the many documentaries, but just seeing all the signs and people who are waiting for OJ to pass by. And I'm like, you look at that overpass now, and I'm just like, golly.
Want to hear something crazy? Want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
The new, you know, Ford is coming out with a new Bronco, new Ford Bronco. Did you know that?
Yes.
Do you know when it's coming out?
I believe I saw it. I don't know OJ's actual birth date, but I did see something about his birth date.
July 9th, OJ Simpson's birthday.
July 9th?
Wow. Yep. Come on now.
Yeah.
That's impossible. Obviously, they're not basing it towards that. I don't think I'll ever look at a, you know, Ford Bronco without thinking of that chase. So, all right. Let's do this when we come back, Kirk. I got to get your thoughts. We spent all this time, and I had all this stuff lined up football-wise, and we just kind of – the show flowed. We keep trying to keep everybody posted on what's going on in baseball. We talked some NBA. But Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn talked a little bit about Colin Kaepernick. I want to spend some time talking about that. Also, is this the time for Cap to get in the league? Because it was you about 3 weeks ago that was telling me that you thought he could still play in the league. Now there's more kind of that conversation, that dialogue. So let's do that when we come back. Kirk Morrison, Alan Sliwa, stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Kirk, what was it? Did you ever get a chance to figure it out? Labor baby, what's it called? Labor.
Just don't tell me about the labor. Just show me the baby.
That's what it is.
I guess. Right, that's what still, it is. Right I still there. Didn't look it up yet. Don't show me.
I'm telling you, don't bother looking it up. You're good.
All right.
That's it. You got it down the way you want it, and that's it. Okay, so do you get a chance? By the way, Curtis, see if you have it in there. Chargers coach Anthony Lynn. I know there was see if that sound is there. If it's not, I got the quote where he talks about Colin Kaepernick. I'll read – actually, let me read this off, all right? So the conversation is about Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. I haven't spoken with Colin. Not sure where he's at as far as in his career, what he wants to do. But Colin definitely fits the style of quarterback for the system that we're going to be running. I'm very confident and happy with the three quarterbacks that I have. But you can never have too many people waiting on the runway. He also said it would be crazy if Colin Kaepernick – wasn't on the workout list, and I'm sure he's talking about multiple right. teams and so forth. Okay, so what do you think happened, Kirk? Do teams now feel more comfortable with saying, yeah, let's give Kaepernick a crack here? And just because it's more unified, I guess you can say, just now it's more accepted around the league? Or do you feel there's pressure to work him out? Like, how do you think the scenario is playing out in the NFL now, the way teams will treat Colin Kaepernick to see if he will get a legitimate shot at having an opportunity of playing with a team?
Well, I mean, honestly, it's a situation where it's the cool thing to do right now, right? It's the in vogue thing
mean.
Now.
I know what you mean. Know? Yep. Like you were saying earlier, all those corporate sponsors, all those corporate companies saying, yeah, let's post something on Twitter there. That's the thing to do.
It's acceptable, right? I mean, it's accepted, I should say. It's accepted now. It wasn't accepted a couple years ago. I mean, I've known guys, you know, personal friends of mine who took a knee and had, you know, endorsements stripped away, you know, had death threats and had, you know, just all kind of bad things thrown their way. Ultimately, you know, aren't in the league anymore. Colin Kaepernick stood for something that he believed in. Well, I should say he kneeled for something that he believed in. And a lot of owners probably just couldn't really get on board with that because of, I believe, the fear of 45. Yeah. Okay. The president, you know, tweeting directly at players, you know, get those, you know, SOBs off
get
the field.
Get him out of the league. Yep.
Get him out of here. Stand. Like that, no one, that was uncharted waters for a lot of people, and no one knew how to handle it, right? But I think over time that those same threats, like, all right, we're used to it, like, whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, after a while, it's like, come on, man. Like,
well, really? There's more power now the other way. There's correct. Now there's more power of, you know, players
it's more
feel
power
like-
in the unity. Mm-hmm. See, before, the unity was not there. It was, okay, there's a players coalition, there's this and that. Now players are like, no, I'm putting out this PSA. We're putting out that. The face of the league is Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, and they put out and saying, hey, Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some things going on in our country that we just aren't comfortable with, and we want our league to have our backs. And now the NFL realizes that. I just haven't seen the owners. See, the guy that falls on the sword is Roger Goodell for the owners. Mm-hmm. When he speaks, he's not speaking as Roger Goodell. He's speaking with 32 owners on his
back. As a mouthpiece.
As mm-hmm. the mouth. That's what he gets paid to do.
Is Rob Manfred. The mouthpiece.
That's what he is. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so now I think with Colin Kaepernick possibly getting the opportunity, yes, he deserves one. He's always deserved one. Mm-hmm. Right? And I've said this. I just want him to get an opportunity to compete. Nothing should be given to him. Nothing. He shouldn't just be signed just to be on a roster. Let's put the ball out there. I love that analogy. Roll the ball out there and we'll see who's the best one. Roll it out there. Let's see. Because obviously when I look at the Chargers, does he fit some of the things that they do? Yes. But you just drafted Justin Herbert. So that's sure. your future. Okay, you spent the first round draft choice on a top seven pick on a quarterback in Justin Herbert. You're mm-hmm. using that pick, all right? So sorry, Colin Kaepernick, as good as you may be, great flirtation by, you know, obviously the Chargers, but you're not surpassing Justin Herbert. They've already secured their future with him, and they've got at least 3 to 4 years to figure out what they have. Now, Easton Stick and Tyrod Taylor, I mean, I don't know about what they got going on, but mm-hmm. I still would feel more comfortable with them right now than Colin
sure.
Kaepernick.
Cap's been out for, you know, 4 years. And
correct.
It's fair to say, okay, well, maybe that one of 32 teams, okay, maybe that's not the best fit, but there certainly can be other teams. I guess, you know, for me, Kirk, and I think this is part of the question is, okay, it's more acceptable now. It's more right. acceptable to have more those acceptable. Conversations. It's correct. More acceptable to give Colin Kaepernick an opportunity. Ireland actually wanted me to ask you this question.
Sure.
Do you think Cap, do you think he wants to play? Like, do you think there's still that he has – it's amazing that since he left the league, how much he's been influential off the football field versus on the football field. Right?
Right.
When he was on the field, he made a stance. They blackballed him for it. His message got stronger and stronger over time. And here we are today. Do you think this is – I know this is just your opinion, but do you think Cap – this is what Cap wants? Like, do you think Cap wants to come back to the NFL to have something to prove? Or do you feel that, you know, what he's discovered in his time off is actually – it's bigger, more meaningful, more powerful?
No, he wants to come back. I think he wants to come back to prove to everyone that he can play in this league, that his skills aren't diminished. I think a lot of people forget that the 49ers were a bad football team. A lot of people say it was because of Cap and his diminishing play, but I don't see it that way, right? He had different coaches, right? Put it like this. I'll ask you a question. Sorry to put you on the spot, Alan. Got to put you on the spot.
Let's
do you know
it.
Who his coach was when his last year in San Francisco?
His last year, no, but I know. You know,
I know who it is.
Getting to the Super Bowl was Harbaugh.
Who was it, Jesse?
It was Chip Kelly.
It was Chip Kelly. Mm. Think about how long ago that was.
Mm-hmm. His last game.
His last game. Chip Kelly's at UCLA, right?
Yep.
Against the Rams, yes. See, that's how long ago that and
coaching is everything. We know that. Ownership is everything. I mean, that's a huge part of your success.
Mm-hmm. Correct. I just say this. I think if you give him an opportunity to compete for a job, there is no doubt in my mind he's going to win that job as a backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Not even looking forward to, but a possibility to be a starter in the future. And I look at the Rams. I look at the city of Los Angeles.
You mentioned that, by the way, 3 weeks ago, nobody was talking about it, and that's one of the teams that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I just look at what the Rams have on their roster. I've seen Josh Love undrafted free agent. I've seen Bryce Perkins, undrafted free agent. And for some people who are hearing these names for the first time, these are the backup quarterbacks on the Rams roster. I don't even have the roster in front of me. I just know their names. Mm-hmm. And John Wolford, who actually had to play Lamar Jackson last year in practice, mm-hmm. before they played the Ravens, and we saw what the Ravens still were able to do against the Rams defense. But so you've had – oh, and actually you played Kyler Murray too, who is about the same height as Kyler Murray. But those are three guys right now that combined, those three players combined, do not – Colin Kaepernick doubles in NFL experience. Those guys haven't even thrown a pass in an NFL game. And if the Rams are serious about possibly having a backup quarterback, man, there's no doubt in my mind that Colin Kaepernick, man, can compete with those three guys and come out as the Rams backup quarterback. So that's so Kirk, the team
so,
that
so,
I see.
So, Kirk, let's stay with the Rams for a quick second. So you're saying from a purely football perspective, right?
Correct.
We know Jared Goff. We know the contract that he has. We know that the Rams are as committed to him as any quarterback in the NFL. All right?
Yes,
and correct. The money speaks that says that.
Right.
But from a purely football perspective, what you're saying is, at the very least, Kaepernick should get an opportunity to be a backup quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams, because the quarterbacks that are back there, and this season's going to be like no other, because
right.
you can have this season, you could have Jared Goff feeling good and healthy, but COVID-19 spreads to a couple players and Goff has to sit out for 7 to 14 days, right? That could happen. That's not this is just part of the world that we're living in. You can have a more experienced backup quarterback. Now, I don't know where, you know, obviously Colin Kaepernick is today and he hasn't played. Everybody's been saying the amount of years it's been since he last played. For somebody like you who's played in the NFL, you know, who has these relationships, understands the game inside and out, you didn't hesitate when I asked you this 3 weeks ago of whether you thought Kaepernick can still play in the league. You said, of course he can. No question about it. Mm-hmm. You think the Rams give him a chance? You think some of these other teams will give him a chance? Or do you still feel like we're still kind of battling that until a team actually says, let's bring him into camp and let's give him a legitimate shot?
Well, I would say this. Right now, it's a hot button topic. Everyone's talking about it. But we're still, like I mentioned with you about the NBA, we're still so far away. 6 weeks is a long time, right? You can get on the fad diet before then, right? And, mm-hmm. and probably lose about 20 pounds, which I need to. and really, you know, have a totally different take on where we're at right now, meaning that, you know, there is no rush to sign Colin Kaepernick right now. But as training camp approaches and you're serious about that position and competing, right? That's what coaches and personnel, that's what their job is, to compete. And mm-hmm. I believe that if you allow Colin Kaepernick the right to compete for that job with what some of these teams have on their roster, come on, man. Let's be real. Let's go.
I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen. Curtis, Kirk, I had Curtis just tell me we got a few minutes or a few less than a minute left here. Kirk, appreciate you doing this. So for those who will fill you in, so every Tuesday, every Wednesday, for at least until basketball comes back, it will be myself and Kirk Morrison. Kirk, always appreciate doing this, buddy. So thanks for doing this, all right?
Hey, man. Alan, always a pleasure, my man.
All right. We are back tomorrow starting at 6:30. Stay right here. Sleeva Show.